Well, we've been doing our series on the Holy Spirit entitled, It Is Better This Way, and talking about when Jesus said that it's better for you that I go away. And we've been focusing, first of all, on who is the Holy Spirit, why did he come, and then we started on what does the Holy Spirit do, and we started with looking at his job description. What is the job description of the Holy Spirit? Last week, we talked about what does the Holy Spirit do before we even darken the door of a church or ever enter into a relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at work. We talked about what does he do in that briefest of moment when we make that decision to follow Jesus, and what happens afterwards. How does the Holy Spirit work in our life throughout the rest of our life? And we want to focus in on some of these. As like I say, we're not going to get through all 21 of them over the coming weeks, but we're going to focus in on some specific ones. And today we're going to look at number 9, where he gives and uses gifts. And I just want to make it clear, Kevin, God has maybe given me some gifts, but the two of them that they are not. One is making food, and the other is singing. God has not entrusted the music of his kingdom into my hands, I'll tell you that. So, sorry I can't help you there, but there are some great cooks here that I know would really like to help you out. So, anyways, we want to look at our foundational verse for this topic this morning, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. What do we glean from these verses, or this verse? First of all, every believer is given a gift. All right? God has given each of you a gift. Secondly, we are to use them. But notice, we are to use them with the strength and the power that God provides. It is not what you just do. It's not just using what God has given you. It's how you use it, using it with the strength and the power that God provides. Thirdly, it talks about the purpose. That is, to use them to serve others. That is the who. It's not about you. It's about God's kingdom. And so when we get the what, and we get the who, and we get the how, when we get those things down, that is when we bring glory and honor to Jesus. So let's plunge a little deeper, though, into these gifts. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the word that is used for gift is charisma. Now, the root of that word is charis, which is grace. The gifts are not something earned. They are a gracious gift that comes. They're kind of like a birthday present. That when you come to Christ, God gives you this birthday present in the Holy Spirit, and he gives you these gifts. And it's not only that God brings us into this eternal family, this his forever family, and we have this sense of belonging, but he gives us these gifts that give us a sense of contribution and significance. We are invited to be a part of his mission in this world. And he gives us something we can use to help in that mission. So, what are these gifts? Well, let's go over to another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. And this is where the Apostle Paul has his longest discourse about spiritual gifts. And I want to show you something that I found very interesting. The Apostle Paul doesn't kind of put these gifts in a little box, you know, like this, but he uses some different words in the verses 4 to 7 that bring out different nuances about these gifts that I find really interesting and I think take us outside of the box that we sometimes put the gifts in. So let me read it to you first. It says, this is from the New International Version, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Now, the word there for gifts is charisma. There are different kinds of service. A different word is used there, diakonia, but the same Lord. there are different kinds of working. Another different word is used there, energema, and I know I'm totally butchering the Greek or whatever. But in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. And there is another word where it talks about the energy. Now, to each one, the manifestation, another word, phanerosis, of the Spirit is given for the common good. So I want you to know, in this passage, the Apostle Paul starts out with charisma or charis, gifts of grace. But then he brings out all these other different nuances. So let's take a moment and look at these. So often when we think about charisma, we think of someone that's got that kind of that personal magnetism that we really like to be around. They draw people to themselves. And there's a sense when we are working in our giftedness that it does draw people. But the secondary meaning or the real meaning that is used here is it's a divinely inspired gift of power. And it has that word of grace. In fact, if you were to follow the sort of the origin of this word, it has this idea of bending and stooping. So if you were to express love upwardsly, that's worship. If you express it outwardly, that's affection. If you express it, in a sense, downwardly, and you stoop and you bend, it's grace. And so the picture is that God gives these gifts as a gift of grace. That's like this Almighty God kind of pours his grace into us finite people, and he pours it in, and he risks, if you want to put it that way, the work of his kingdom into us. He bends, he stoops, and he gives these gifts through which he works in our world. The second, or in verse 5, you have a different word, diakonia. It's where the word we get deacon from that. And some say that diakonia is composed of a compound word, one made up of dia, which means through, and the other konos, which means dust. So the meaning is one who hurries through the dust to serve another, to humble yourself, render assistance. It suggests that we're kind of like servants or table waiters in God's household. And so the Holy Spirit enables you to serve others as a humble table waiter and delivery person of heaven's blessings to others. Different kinds of service. You're kind of like an Amazon driver, you know? You are the distributor of heaven, delivering God's blessing of help to others. And then in verse 6, he uses another word, different kinds of workings. He uses the word energema, which is the word we get energy from. The divine energy and activity that makes stuff happen. So it's not your energy, it's not your effort that makes it happen, it's God's energy, the effect or activity of God himself working in you. He kind of adds his supernatural power to your human effort, and something emerges that's bigger than you. You know, it's kind of like Rob Reimer talks about. He says, you know, when Jesus shows up, his kingdom comes. When you and I show up, nothing happens. You know, I've seen this happen. A while back, I had someone in my office, and I just sensed kind of that prompting that, you know, this person needs more than certainly any wisdom or any kind of knowledge or anything that I could particularly do. And I just really sensed that God wanted to do something deeper within their life. And so I invited one of the members of our prayer team to come and to meet with us the next week. This person was wide open to that because I shared that with him. I said, I just sense that God wants to do a healing work and a deeper work within your soul. So I invited this person to come, and they were just going to pray through with this person some of the things. And I just kind of sat back and amazed as I kind of literally moved into the back seat. And I watched and listened as this person prayed with this person. And God just kind of came into the room and ministered very deeply to this person that was hurting and touched a part of them that we could not touch with just words, not just wise counsel. It ministered to the soul. Friends, that's, I think, kind of the thing that's being connected here. When Jesus shows up, his kingdom comes. When you and I show up, not much happens. In verse 7, he uses another word, the manifestation of the Spirit. This word's related to light. It means to shine. It makes that which is invisible visible, so thus manifestation. It's to make visible what was previously hidden. So your gifts are a way that God makes visible what was previously invisible. He uses you to light up the world. So when you put all of these things together, all these different terms, these are the empowerments or tools that God uses, and he does them in a variety of ways. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. We jump back to that verse. God has given each of you a gift from his, what? Great variety of spiritual gifts. In other words, God's grace is manifested in a variety of ways. It's like every time you express your gift, it displays an aspect of God's amazing grace. It shows another part of it. As many of you know, my wife has started doing some painting. Before she started painting, I thought white was white. You know, go into a paint store, ask for white paint. Like, it's all the same, right? I've discovered that isn't the case. You go into a paint store, and there can be 20 different colors of white. Really? And I mean, that's with every color. You go to the paint display, and there are just like massive different colors and little differences in all of these. And I think that's a little bit like God's grace. Each of us, God has given, bring a specific nuance, a specific shade, a specific tint to what expresses God's marvelous rainbow, multidimensional grace. That's pretty cool. God is entrusted and given you, in other words, if we were to summarize this, God is entrusted and given you some of the stuff that the Holy Spirit does that you can use with the power that God provides to humbly serve others in a multitude of ways that makes God visible in this world. Wow. So what's the purpose of these gifts? 1 Peter 4:10. Use them well to serve one another. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Ephesians 4:12. To equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So God has made you a member of his family and not just given you these gifts as a birthday present, but he's given you these gifts to be able to bless others with them. You bring something to the table. You are significant. As 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about, there's no useless members in the body. And he likens it to our physical body. There's no useless organs. There's no useless members in the body of Christ. Each and every one of us has something to contribute. In church language, we talk about it, the priesthood of all believers. It isn't just with the clergy, you know, the clergy aren't the ones who do ministry and the lay people are the ones who receive ministry. No. We are, as Peter says, a kingdom of priests. We're all given spiritual tools to serve, to make visible, to minister to one another and for the sake of his kingdom. So Friday night, we had our fourth and last of the gathering for this particular time. We'll probably bring it back again in the summer. But the gathering is just where Whoever wants to can come out and we do a meal together. Three values. One is connection, opportunity to connect with one another. Second value is conversation. We throw out a question. And the question this last week was, oh, remind me. Andrea, speak up. Yeah. Something fun, some funny story that your family would share at your funeral. I had a few. They were sworn to secrecy till I die. But anyways. And the third value, that takes us off track. The third value is contribution. You don't come empty-handed. Everybody contributes to the meal. In fact, on Friday night, it was a chilly dinner, and on Friday night, the people who arrived last, no names, had the chili. So they were really welcomed. We were excited when they showed up. You know, chili dinner without chili, kind of loses something. But we were excited when the chili showed up. But the point is, every one of us brings something to the table. Every one of us is gifted to help and to manifest God's grace in its multitude and multidimensional ways. So what are these spiritual gifts? Well, in the New Testament, we find four different gifts, four different passages that list them all. In Romans chapter 12, we find a list that contains seven gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find the list that has 13 gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have five. 1 Peter, 2. If you go into the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 31, it talks about this gift of craftsmanship, which was given to help individuals in the construction of the tabernacle. So when you add all these lists up, some of them are duplicates and different lists, but when you add them all up, there could be 27, 28, or more different gifts. And often people try to classify these gifts, okay? Because there's kind of like two basic classifications. There are the gifts that are more ordinary, kind of serving gifts, like helping, administration, teaching, leading, hospitality, mercy. They're kind of like, you know, natural kinds of abilities, but when you're using those, if that is what God has gifted you, it's like they've been put on steroids. Like they just accomplish more. They just do more. So there's those ordinary gifts, and then there's kind of the extraordinary or the supernatural gifts. These are like discernment, healing, miracles, tongues, wisdom, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. They don't just naturally seem to show up. They are extraordinary, supernatural. You know, a few weeks ago when I was speaking about how the Holy Spirit and talking about the ways in which the Holy Spirit helps us every day, I got an email and the person was right on. It was a good word of correction. They said, you know, that was really good, and it was good to know how the Holy Spirit works in us every day. But one of the things I think you missed was that sometimes the Holy Spirit works supernaturally. And he isn't always tame, and he isn't always comfortable. He steps outside the box. And that's so true. You know, when you look in Scripture, the Holy Spirit sometimes stepped out of the box. God is good in the gifts he gives, but he's not safe. He's not tame. So God will at times step in and do these supernatural gifts. For example, you think of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They come in, hey, is this all the money you got for the land? You want to give it to the church? That's fantastic. Yeah, well, that's all that we got. This is what we're giving. And Peter gets a supernatural word of knowledge or a sense of discernment, he gets some information that wasn't known publicly. God shared it with him and said, Ananias and Sapphira, is that really the truth? And they say, no. And it was a way that God shared this to keep hypocrisy from finding root in the church. So sometimes God will do some supernatural things, some extraordinary things that are outside the box for the sake of his kingdom. You know, there's also a debate over, like we have this debate over how many gifts are they? Is that the exhaustive list that we find in those passages, or is that just representative? Is there a multitude of different nuances and different gifts that God gives? The other question that is often asked is, you know, do we get just one or two or three or four gifts for our lifetime and that's where we are? Or does God bring and give those gifts at certain times when the situation and the context warrant something different? I don't think in my lifetime that there will ever be a time when God gifts me with the gift of cooking or of music. You know, just me. That will be a miracle, supernatural gift, all right, if that happens. In my own experience, what I've found is, you know, there's a few gifts that I've discovered within my life, but sometimes in the context or in a situation, there are some that maybe are a little bit more dormant that are brought to the fore, they brought to the forefront, because the situation kind of warrants that. And so God will do that within your life. So maybe this has led you to say, well, what are some of the gifts? And I think the guys have been showing some of those gifts and with a little explanation beside them. And of the 20-some different gifts that there are. And these are the things, though, that, like I say, is this exhaustive, or does God use these and others to equip his church? Final question. How do I discover these? How do I discover my gifts? Well, I think the first question is, what is in your hand? What is in your hand? In Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4, we have the story about Moses. Moses has been tending sheep for 40 years, and God calls him to lead the people of Egypt, or the Hebrew people, out of the land of Egypt. And Moses feels incredibly inadequate. And we have this whole dialogue with God, between Moses and God. And one of the things that God asks Moses at the beginning of chapter 4 is, what is it that's in your hand? And Moses says, a shepherd's staff. I think what Moses was essentially saying when he said a shepherd's staff is, look, God, all I've been doing for my whole life is shepherding sheep. All I've got is this skill, this one talent. I'm a one-talent guy, a one-trick pony. All I've got is a shepherd's staff. And what does God say to him? God says, Moses, throw it on the ground. So Moses throws it on the ground, and it says it becomes a snake. Now, capture the humor of this. Can you imagine the angels in heaven watching this thing? Moses, throw your thing down, there's a snake. And it says Moses runs from it. And God says, no, Moses, come back. Grab it by the tail. I think the angels are just watching this thinking, I can see Moses tentatively grabbing this snake by the tail. And he grabs it by the tail, and it becomes a staff again. But that staff becomes what Moses touches the waters of the Red Sea, and they part. It's what he touches the rock, and water flows out. God uses that staff in powerful ways, more than just a shepherd's staff. He adds his power, his anointing to it, and uses it in amazing ways. So the first question we need to ask is, what is it that God has put in your hands? What is it that he has given you that, with his added power to it, could use in a miraculous way? At Eastside, we also do a workshop called SHAPE. We do them periodically. And SHAPE is an acronym. We like acronyms. And so SHAPE stands for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And so I think when you are in the process of trying to discover your spiritual gifts, ask yourself those questions. The first question in terms of your spiritual gifts are, do you see God's hand on some things that you know go beyond just your natural ability? I mean, did God use something like Moses' staff to sort of have some surprising results I mean, do you find yourself sometimes just even caught off guard that you just kind of went out there and you just used this sort of simple thing and somehow or another God just did something more? You drew a small X and God took a felt pen and drew a bigger X over top of it. It's one of the things to ask that in terms of that process of discovering, what is it that God has given you to contribute to his kingdom? A second place to examine is your heart. Your heart. What do you feel drawn towards? What causes, what concerns, what is it that you can get passionate about? You know, I believe that God doesn't gift us in areas that we hate. He gifts us in areas that one of the inklings that it leads us is things that we can get excited about, things we can get passionate about, things that concerns and causes that really kind of break our heart and cause us to say, ah! So what is it that God is putting on your heart? What things get you passionate? Third one is your abilities. What skills and abilities do you have that you can employ for God's kingdom? I mean, you can use them in a lot of different ways, but how can you take that skill and ability and use it for the sake of God's kingdom? The fourth one is personality. You know, we're not all the same. Some people like people, like to work with people. Some people like to work with tasks. You know, give me a task. Give me something I can do in the back room. Just don't put me up front. Don't put me working with people. I can do something in the back. What is it that God has given you and woven into your personality? What is it that really you like to do? And then the last one is experiences. Friends, God can take every experience you have, can redeem it, and use it for his kingdom. It's a very important point to capture. A biblical example is the man that was in the Gerasenes that was filled with many demons. It says legion. And Jesus comes along and casts out all the demons, and the man, it says, is sitting there in his sound mind, and he has peace. And he asks Jesus, he says, can I follow you? And Jesus, you know, that seems like the natural response, doesn't it? Like, Jesus, you've just delivered me from all these things. I want to follow you. I want to learn from you. I want to do all these things with you. And Jesus says, no. What I want you to do is to go back to your hometown and to share what God has done in your life. Here's the point. You know, sometimes we can make it really mysterious where God may be leading us and what is our area that we can contribute to God's kingdom. Maybe it's not all that mysterious. Maybe it is looking at what has God healed within your life? What has he taken and redeemed in your life? And maybe where you need to look is just right behind you from where you came. If you've gone through a divorce and God has healed you of that, maybe it's a ministry that can take you back to work with divorced people. If you've lost a loved one, someone that was really dear to you, and God has helped you work through that process of grief and has brought some healing, you understand and can walk with someone that's going through grief. If you've been in an addiction and you've struggled through the addiction and you've come out the other side and God has healed and restored you and given you victory in that area, that's a place where you can maybe go back and you can understand and you can help someone else. Maybe the place of your contribution to the kingdom of God is right behind you where God has brought you from. So let me wrap up with this. It's a story. You know, it happened in 1986, and it was the story of a farmer in Nebraska named Herman Ostry. And Herman had a problem because of recent road construction that had happened. Every time it rained or when the creek rose, his barn was flooded with 29 inches of water. And somehow he needed to move this 20,000-pound barn 145 feet up the hill to a new foundation. And his son, Mike, had a solution. So Mike created this whole lattice of bolts and rods and everything on this barn, and he invited 344 of their closest friends, maybe a grouping like what we have here this morning. And he gathered them on a particular Saturday, and at the particular time there were hundreds of spectators that came and media showed up because they all thought this was going to fail. And at the appointed time, he had the 344 guys surround the barn and grab hold of a rod and, you know, gave them the signal to all lift and step and walk. And the barn kind of wavered a little bit, but then it just kind of lifted up and they moved it 145 feet up the hill. When you think about it, 20,000 pounds divided by 344, each person was carrying about 28 kilograms. That's what they carried. When I read about that 1986 barn moving miracle, I couldn't help but think about God's church. Miracles happen. And they happen when every person in the church takes hold of the part that God has assigned to them, that God has given them, and they lift. And incredible miracles happen every day when they are lifting with the gifts and the energy and the stuff of the Holy Spirit. May I suggest that of all the impact, all the successes, all the victories, all the triumphs, all the things that have happened through the church and Swift Current, that we are only touching the surface and barely scratching it of what is possible, because the truest and the biggest miracles happen when Christ followers ask and anticipate and become really good at letting the stuff of the Spirit flow through them. When we lift up our part, God does some miraculous and amazing things. Friends, my challenge this morning is, what has God put in your hand? What is it that He has given you as a gift, not just for you, not just so you can enjoy it, but what has He given you to contribute to the body of Christ and to His mission in this world of redeeming the world? The Holy Spirit, it says, has given you something. What has He put in your hand? What are you going to do with it? Remember this phrase that we had last week? You got to fight against your base instinct to resist the Holy Spirit. You have to fight against your base instinct to resist the Holy Spirit. It's much easier to sit, to receive, to welcome, to bask, to enjoy, than it is to take hold of a rod and lift up and do our part. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You that when Jesus came, He came not only to bring us into fellowship with the Father, not only that we could have our sins forgiven, that we could be cleansed, that we could become a part of His eternal family and have the sense of belonging. Lord, we thank You so much for that. But He also gave us the Holy Spirit. And with that came gifts, working, service, manifestations, things that He wants to work in and through our lives, things that He basically announces and says, you've got a contribution you can make to the redeeming work that I have. You have significance. You're important. So, Lord, this morning, we want to say yes. We want to say yes to Your cleansing and redeeming work, for what You have done on the cross for our sin, and that we can be a part of Your family. We thank You for that eternally. Lord, we want to say yes to Your Holy Spirit. Yes, that we will look at for what You have placed in our hands, that we will seek to discover, that we will seek to develop, that we will seek to deploy that which you have given us that can make a contribution to your redeeming work. So, Lord, we say yes. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, work in us, work through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close in the song.